last night to keep this thing newsworthy. This Grizzlies summer league run, it wasn't really Cam Boozer, and it wasn't Cedric Coward. The guy getting you through last night was Javon Small.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that third-string point guard, fourth-string point guard, whatever you want to make him. Javon Small was big last night, and he's kept this thing, again, worth talking about in terms of the next couple of games for the Grizzlies and summer league.
That was...
What a performance.
That was a little nutty. We have time to get to that, set up the show. Trista Crick is actually going to join us at 10 a.m. Maven of Meta, Thriller on Threads, does it all. She was in Cannes, and now she's in Atlanta. She's going to the World Cup.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I think she hit Vegas at some point.
She was in Vegas. Now
Good
she's in Atlanta.
Lord, I can't even keep up with her.
She's everywhere, and she is going to join us at 10 a.m. That's usually Sam Hardiman's spot. We're going to move him to 11:25. So he will join us, and obviously we have a lot to get to with him, you know, about city council controversy.
Investigating two council members.
While I was gone, I mean, I know there was a big tug of war about the baseball park.
Mm. Right? Yes, we have.
So there's a lot to
baseball
get to.
Baseball and pickleball.
So that is the show today. I'm back. Before we get into the issues, I wanted, like, this is obvious. This is my third paternity leave. It was fully unleaded this time. You know, I did kind of let you off easy the first two. Only took the four the first two times. You got the full six, right, this time? Both of you got the full six. And so I just kind of want to turn it back to you guys, and I want you guys to tell me what you learned about yourselves in the 6 weeks that I was gone here on the show.
Let me tell you what I learned about you.
Real quick, I don't want to know what you learned about
me,
man.
One last thing since we got you back, because it's something I realized. You're back on a Wednesday. It's funny. It's right. It's Wednesday. He's come back on a Wednesday.
Yes.
The 2 days that you got here, the Monday and Tuesday, are actually the holidays that we had. So you're right. So that you could enjoy the holidays make sure that none of the paternity landed on those days.
Correct.
And that's why instead of a Monday, it's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so it was fully unleaded.
Yeah.
If I might, I got a note from, and that's why I'm glad you're here today, because I kind of fibbed to corporate. I got a note because now they have like a whole freaking FMLA department.
Yes.
John has gone through the paperwork for this damn thing. And so I'm not trying to be a hard ass, by the way, John. So I get this note in my inbox Monday and it says, has John Martin returned to work today?
They were checking to
FMLA
make sure
council.
If they need to keep cutting these checks.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of things went through my head at that point because I overthink everything, as y'all know.
Right.
As a manager, I'm like, well, man, I could really step on my nuts here if he doesn't show up to work after I tell him he has returned today. I can either tell them he's not at work today and go through a lot of BS.
Right.
Understanding that, and I had to actually think, and then I finally put two and two together about Juneteenth and the 4th of July.
That's right.
That son of a gun stacked it, and I said, confirmed.
There you go. So this is what this is the truth. It's better to lie.
You know, if I would have said, well, no, but he'll be back Wednesday, it'd have been a whole, well, you know, 2 and 2 = 4, and like,
yeah,
like,
I mean, but
forget
I, but
this.
I,
so, just full disclosure. So
no,
I am here for you. This
Thank
man
you.
Across the glass from you,
I'm just going to tell you,
has put it in, John.
You navigated that thing like Kleiman navigated that draft, dropping back and getting his guy and picking up all those picks. That man had all the days planned out.
No, he was trading
Very
two
well
picks
done.
For four picks.
Well, I mean, listen. You,
Very well done.
You still have to raise the kids on Juneteenth, right? I mean, you don't, so I
you
think,
don't get an off day there. Not
I,
you.
And I wanted to, as Brad would say in a promo, reflect and explore.
Thank you. And we did, by the way.
On that day, especially. Yeah.
We do that now. Yearly.
And then, of course,
your new baby
of July,
did certainly.
You know,
yes.
So, so, okay. So, yes, you guys learned that maximize it. I want to know what we learned about each other. What did we learn about being in the trenches with one another for 6 weeks?
Like you said, we have now, we're so well versed in this. This is your third child. That's why we haven't done these just unbelievably fully to the max paternity leaves. We've done a couple. And so, it was just, we've kind of been here.
This is what we do.
It was normal. We had Summer League helped,
yeah,
of course, and we talked about this with you last week.
Yeah.
Ed Scott really helped at the beginning of June, laying out a bunch of news for us in terms of what was going on with the basketball, football spending, the fact that the Tigers were going to be full rev share, one of only two schools in the group of six. There was the draft, obviously. jumping up, getting Cameron Boozer, the way that you drop back and get a guy in Kareem Lopez, who I don't think I've talked with you about. Hopefully we'll still see him in summer league.
Yep.
And then, you know, I think for the rest of it, we just had a good time with a bunch of guests that hopefully our listeners had a good time listening to.
Yeah.
In fact, one by the name of Jeremy Bolden, I think you would have really loved that interview. He's a local referee who has Asperger's syndrome, but is a jet fuel chemist. On the full
that was
time,
a great interview.
Does refereeing on the side, and I think maybe as much as anything we did in your time gone, that resonated with folks as much as anything. You check the Facebook page and everything else. We talked to normal people, we talked to people in power, and we covered sports in Memphis like we always do, brother. I don't know that we learned anything about ourselves.
Well, that's a it's very but much did appreciated the job. That you guys held it down, because obviously you know, I don't know how that would have been able to go off you know, if I didn't have a partner who was willing to hold it down like
unnecessary.
That,
so. Appreciate it. You know that every single day. Yeah. That's how we rock. I'll tell you one thing I was rocked by, and you saw it because it was recent, was the Legero Vic news.
Because
you and I both at one time had such, not just, you know, high hopes for him, but you felt like it was all panning out. I mean, the guy went to Kansas. He ended up playing for Bill Self. And even if doesn't get the NBA career, and I think he got his summer league shot and everything else, you know, chance to play overseas and everything, and now he's charged with first degree murder. He's in jail, and you know, I think you heard me probably telling a little bit of that story.
Yeah, I actually
was
listening, and I heard you pivot to Joe.
Well, hoping that we don't have a similar situation, because I just feel like that's going down a bad path. Not that that is like was the news of the day,
but
certainly the Legero Vic thing had us talking about all kind of sad Memphis basketball stories.
And it got me actually when I was listening to that, because I really kind of tried to
unplug, as you
totally
should,
like,
and plug into your family. Yeah,
I've kind of like unplugged from all social media. Like, I don't even know if I'm gonna return to social media. Like, I'm trying to figure all that out about my life.
Because
I kind of enjoyed it, to be honest. I've kind of enjoyed like not being in that machine, you know, for a variety of reasons. But it got me. I am on TikTok. That's the one I can't quit. And you remember old Jalen Fisher?
Yes.
You know, well-traveled UNLV. Then he went to
Grand
Canyon.
Wrote a ton about him coming out of Boulder.
Is that the light skin and the TCU?
TCU. Yeah, exactly. It was well-traveled. But he was like, he's a very, well, I've never really interacted with him. I never knew this. But like, my algorithm on TikTok, he came up and he was like running hills or something. And he stopped and he makes this video where he's talking about like, I used to be this guy who played in front of tens of thousands of people at UNLV and TCU and Grand Canyon and, you know, overseas or whatever. And now he's back in Memphis and he's trying to make it happen still. And he's like, now nobody's really cheering for me. He's like, I'm not doing this in front of an audience anymore. You know, I'm doing it just sort of alone.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how to do it. I don't really know how to proceed when I'm not in front of a crowd. And I just... like, it was just a very like raw moment of introspection. But I thought it was like, man, so many hoopers in Memphis probably need to hear that message. That like, there's another guy that's been on top. I don't know. I mean, a high level D1 athlete is about as good as you're going to get percentile wise.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he's struggling too. You know what I mean? Like, he's struggling with what's my identity now that I'm not college basketball player. What's my identity now that I'm not a NBA player? And I don't know if that's exact, because I heard that's kind of, I think that was kind of what you posited, right? It was like, when you're not in the NBA, when you don't make it the way you hope you make it, because this is all these guys do. I mean, that's literally there. It's like, if you strip away media from us, it's like, what are we? Are we like home builders? Are we, I don't know. I don't know what the hell we do, right? I'm sure it's a little bit like that. And so it's like, then you turn to, unfortunately, you know, your environment in a lot of cases. We know the environment in Memphis. We know what it can be. And so I do. I think that was I thought it was a worthwhile conversation. And obviously, you know, you really hurt to see. I don't know what Joe was going through. I can't begin to speculate on that.
I mean, it's every day at this point.
Yeah.
You can see he's going through something.
I don't know who's close to him. I don't know, you know, but obviously.
I don't even know where he is if he's in Memphis.
Yeah.
I don't think you can tell. Maybe somebody does, but I don't know that you can tell from his post. Anyway, Brad and I were discussing that the other day for folks that are just catching on.
Yeah, I know it's kind of like a sour start, but I mean,
it's a real start.
Yeah, it's real talk, and it's something, obviously, that's in the news now with LeGerald. And, you know, I don't know exactly all the details. I haven't really been keeping up with that, but, obviously just a tragic situation. So, a lot to get to on the show today. Like we said, Trista Crick's going to join us at 10 a.m. We'll talk summer league with her. World Cup. España with a pretty, you know, decent size upset yesterday over France.
They don't allow goals.
They don't allow goals.
I mean, France was the World Cup favorite at this point.
Yep.
And to have Mbappe playing the way he did not look like his usual self.
He did not.
Yesterday. He was certainly frustrated afterwards. But to not allow a goal, I think they've only allowed one goal this entire World Cup. That came to Belgium. Super impressive defensively what they pour on you.
Yeah, and when I think about Trista, I think about Portland. And when I think about Portland, I think about Ja Morant's new team.
Yeah, we have that.
Ja Morant got traded while I was gone. And have we gotten like a thank you or anything yet, or are we still waiting on that? Has he addressed Memphis at all?
He spoke publicly at Summer League this week or end of last week, like the days run together, but spoke publicly to the media for the first time and said one of the things Brad and I talked about, thought it was important, that Memphis will always be home to him.
Okay. He did say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he said all the things you would expect him to say at this point with everything now finalized.
Yeah.
New chapter. You know, Memphis made its decision. I'm moving on.
Yeah.
Paraphrasing, obviously.
Yeah.
All the right things there. You know, Ja, when he wants to, can say all the right things, and he did.
Yeah.
There's been a little bit of back and forth. Since the Trailblazers have not, we can ask Trist about this, since they haven't moved any of those guards, about whether or not Ja might come off the bench, and he told Mike Anori, their one-year coach that's on a one-year trial run, basically, that I'll come off the bench. And Mike Anori's come back out and said, well, Ja said that, and so if we do it, he said it. And so we've had that little bit since. But, yeah, Ja Morant's Portland Trailblazer. We don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Figure they are still ahead of you, though. In terms of what you've all the work you've still got to do, even though it's been a nice offseason for the Grizzlies so far.
Yeah.
Portland, with that team, it's loaded up on guards. It's going to be somewhere ahead of you, just don't know where.
Yeah, no, obviously this is just kind of like, this is catch up for me. You know, I've been out of school for 6 weeks, so I'm just kind of catching up on
the pretty big things last month and a half.
But yeah, I mean, I would like to at least get a word on Ja, man. I mean, at one point, you know, I mean, I think we all did, right? We defended that man to the hilt.
Even coming into this season, this last season had high hopes still,
but,
I think.
But, man, the end, it's going to be hard to move past the end and just how ugly it got. Like, it's going to – like, when I think about the Ja era, like, there's two parts that I will think about. It will be the you know, the twilight, which was that 21-22 version of Ja Morant, you know. And honestly, I'll think about the ascent.
Mm-hmm.
When he came in as a rookie, kind of lit the world on fire. Played with such a passion and a joy, but then I'll think about the joy being sucked out of him, or him sucking it out of himself, whatever, however you want to put it. Like, we got two very different versions of Ja Morant in Memphis. We got the young kid that made it, that defied all the odds, that turned himself into a number two pick from nothing, and made the team better, and was a superstar, and at one point was probably a top 15 player in the league. I'll die on that hill in 21-22. But then I'll think about the mercurial, the moping, the aggrieved for no apparent reason, the sulking version, the brooding version of Ja Morant that we got at the end. So it's like two. It's like I don't know which I'll think about more. But it feels like, and obviously like the not playing.
Mm-hmm.
That will probably be the lasting legacy for Ja Morant in Memphis to me will be. Just not necessarily a what if, but what could have been, because just, you know, the last 3-4 years of it, it was just I mean as quickly as it got here with Ja, it left.
Yeah,
I mean that was, you know, that was probably the, you know, that was the jarring part of it.
Do you think he revives the career to a degree that gets him close to where he how close can he come back to where we all had him, where you had him, 21-20? How close can he get to that again?
I don't think he can.
Okay.
I think if there was a realistic chance.
Number one's the availability thing.
Right.
Can
I mean,
he stay
exactly.
on the floor? And that's more physical than it is
off-court
decisions, which had probably long been held against him, and he pointed that out.
Right.
It's like some of this stuff, the
right.
Instagram stuff, y'all ask me. Well, Ja, it's a new team.
Yeah.
They're going to do that, number one. They're going
right.
to judge you. I don't know if you saw it, but the columnist at
that was ridiculous.
The Oregonian.
That was so stupid.
I mean, it was a racist column. He came back and
apologized for it. He said jailblazers when Ja Morant's
never been
in jail.
Right. And so he was getting some of that going in.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah,
and unfairly in that way.
So.
But it's new team. It's going to happen.
Yep.
That columnist has since apologized.
Yeah.
That said, it's can he keep his body healthy enough to play 65-plus games? You look at the history of his career. He's only done that, what, one time in his career, his rookie season.
Yeah, so, and by the way, it doesn't get better with the older you get.
Right.
It doesn't.
Unless you change your game.
Yeah, and I mean, right? I mean, he's...
We've been asking that for a
long time. He's kind of done it, but he's never going to be a good enough shooter to really do it. And so I think that's like, you can't play in this league if you can't shoot.
I'm going to say this because it's unfortunate. This week, this two, it's been since we've kind of moved on. I'm going to say I'm relieved. This is not to kick dirt on him. We are hoping for great things for Ja. And hoping that he always considers Memphis, you know, well, again, where he came, he raised his daughter here and everything else. But in terms of the rest of his career, it's going to be about whether or not you can stay on the floor and change your game. And I'm glad that we don't have to ask that question anymore.
Yeah.
I am so relieved we are out of the Ja Morant business. Again, this is not to kick rocks. This is not to be negative. But relieved to be moving on. Relieved to not have to ask the questions about whether or not he's going to change the game so that he can be available.
Yep.
Has he matured enough? Are those behind him? We were doing that going into every season.
No doubt.
And after, you know, 7 years of it, really, just the last couple of years, because you're right, for the first few, we weren't. It was an ascent. We don't have to ask those questions or be in that business anymore.
No doubt.
You know, and that's behind you now. And, yep. And listen, you got a lot of work to do to get back to a place that you can call yourself some kind of contender or anything else, but I'm glad that we're starting that process now.
For sure.
Because it felt like hell. It was dividing the fan base. It was, Lord knows, it was ugly between Ja and ugly / uncomfortable / awkward / everything between Ja and the franchise.
Yes.
So relieved that we're out of the business of it, but rooting for him.
Yeah, and listen, for the Grizzlies, like, I mean, you're taking a calculated risk here. You push a button. Now, I think Ja kind of put your finger on it with the way he behaved in the first week of the season. You know, we talked about this at the time. It's like, hey, this is an opportunity. Like, go prove you deserve the extension. Just go play. Go be a good citizen. Go be productive.
And it continued the first half of the European trip.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it wasn't just that fifth game against the Lakers.
Every chance he had, you know, he kind of took a torch to it, which is his prerogative. And now he's got a fresh start. But the Grizzlies have a fresh start too. And they also they drafted Cam Boozer. I haven't had a really chance to come out here and talk about that. That was the guy I wanted from the beginning.
From the day they got the number 3 pick in the lottery.
And I'm curious as to what you've said about him, what you've thought about him in these summer league games.
Well, I'd long come over to your side before even the draft
and said
that Cameron Boozer's the guy. I think you were around for that. Certainly.
Yeah, after the combine, his athleticism wasn't disastrous.
We could go down the list and say everything the listeners have heard from everybody about how he does all the right things, seems unflappable, you can't speed him up, says all the right things. It's really the thing that's blown me away is how adept and comfortable he's looked all over the floor in the offense, but it's really on the perimeter.
Yep.
The dude was 6 of 9. He had a bad shooting game from 3, 2 of 8. What was it? Game before last. But he was 6 of 9 from 3 in the first, through Salt Lake City in the first game of Vegas.
Yes.
I mean, he was shooting 67% from 3. That's why when McMenamin asked him, is this going to be an adjustment for you? He was 1 of 6 in the 2 of 8 performance. He cut him off. No, dude, I shot 40%.
He was like insulted.
And I've been red hot in summer league.
Which it was a dumb question.
It was, but in fairness to McMenamin, who, listen, he's LeBron
college.
Reporter. Yeah, he's Lakers reporter. He's coming. He's looking at the box score, seeing Cameron Boozer 1 of 6.
Right.
That said, it's what he's doing on the perimeter in this offense as not just a guy that can knock down threes, but as a facilitator. He's throwing entry passes. You can run pick and roll off of him. He can run it himself.
You have to use the modern basketball language, Jason. He's a hub.
He is an offensive hub, which is the language they used all during that press conference that I had never said, but will now certainly have to be going forward. That ball is going to be in his hands all over the floor, not just in the post and not just out on the wing as a three-point shooter. That's what's blown me away.
I mean, they damn near aren't even really using him in the post.
He can operate as a guard at times and against certain matchups, maybe sometimes bring the ball up for you in a way that you like Jaren to do it. But I hope to initiate as an initiator of offense, facilitator, as opposed to a guy that's, you know, with Jaren, it would be, okay, let me get the blow by.
Now, I'll say this. I didn't necessarily know that was coming, right?
Like, this part of Boozer. Like, that's what I'm telling you. That's blown me away.
Yeah, like my focus on him was just like, all right, he's got contagious winning habits, like all those things. I never thought he would be an initiator or hub, quote unquote, of the offense.
I thought it'd be, if it were a hub, we're talking about out of the high post, you know, by the free throw line, he's throwing it into Edie or something. Dude, he's been outside the three-point line initiating the sets at times. He's brought the ball up and hit step backs.
Yep.
It's how his ability to operate like a big guard slash.
Yep.
While they haven't just thrown him in the post and said, go kill, he has had his time where he's had two, three guys on him.
Yep.
He gives you that pump fake. He's so comfortable in the contact. And on most nights, he's going to go there and knock down the free throws. But he's so comfortable, you know, drawing those fouls and playing through contact. 18 years old, bro, 251 pounds.
Yep.
That's the difference between him and Wilson, who I will say, I'm not, you know, a lot of people have used how well Wilson's done to say, that, well, you should have got this guy or whatever else. Or they've used Wilson, the fact that he doesn't have many assists, just kind of been playing one-on-one.
Yep.
You know, against him when you're a Boozer guy. I'm not doing it. He's been fantastic.
Yep.
That said, he doesn't have Boozer's strength.
Right.
That's going to help you immediately off the bat when it comes to moving men down in that post.
Yeah, but I mean, I've been.
He operates everywhere. That's what's awesome about
him. Cam was a plus 35 last night. Again, in summer league, everybody's using guys in ways that they may not necessarily use them in the regular season, but you can just kind of see it.
Dude, in a game he started 0 of 6 from the floor.
Yeah.
Like, he still finished strong. He did all the other things that you want to see. And he was averaging 19 coming into this game, and still, even he would call it a bad offensive performance, certainly.
Sure.
He still was plus 30, like you said, a game high plus 35 or whatever it was.
So, I mean, I honestly, and we haven't got a chance to see Kareem Lopez yet. I know the report yesterday, mm-hmm. I can't remember who it came from, was that they hope to get him out there.
Yeah, said he's on track to play. So what the team spokesman told Drew and Jonah Dillon.
Which, okay, they play, who do they play next?
They got Atlanta next on Thursday, one of two undefeated teams left.
So you got to think that they will probably, I'm speculating here, you pull Cedric and then you put Kareem in there for him?
Bro, I think this is probably, just in terms of the summer league and where we are, the discussion point of the day. Because I didn't expect them to play all their guys yesterday. I don't think any of us did. On the second day of a back-to-back, and they didn't just play him. They played Cower and Boozer till the final horn, which was an indicator that they are looking at point diff.
Right.
They let Cower shoot that three there late. Most of those instances, regular NBA game, you're not doing that. There's code. But they were scoring late. Point diff matters in terms of tiebreakers and making the semifinals. So back to the point, because the top four advance with the best record. If you got a tie, head-to-head matters. You're now ahead of Golden State, which was undefeated before this. But after head-to-head comes point diff. And that looked like it mattered to them. Now, back to your question. Was that last night Boozer and Cam playing till the horn? Boozer and Cedric Coward playing until the horn. Was that them going all in? Okay, you guys are done. We're putting you guys in bubble wrap. Those are your final minutes. Or is that them saying, we're going to try to go win this thing and play these dudes to that point? Here's the thing. You played your B team against Atlanta and Salt Lake City. They played their B team against you. It was the last one. It was get out time.
Yep.
Second day of a back to back. Nobody played their guys. Well, Atlanta's 3-0. You're 2-1 with a chance here if you beat them to advance to the Final Four here. That is the question, John. Are you done? Have you seen enough of Cam? Enough of said to say, you know what? Yeah, great position we're in. We like it for the reserves, and we've put them in a position that maybe they can fight for the Final Four. Or are you saying young guys go out there and do it?
Yeah. No, it's a good question.
Play them Thursday against an Atlanta team that's probably going to play their guys?
I would, because they sat them against
it's Kingston.
They sat Kingston, Asa, and Zubi.
Zubi is the dude.
Yeah, so they sat them against the Celtics, beat their ass. Now they're undefeated. Got a day of rest. 2 days of rest.
Why wouldn't they go for it?
I would imagine they do.
And if they're going to go for it, are you going to put your B's out there again after you just showed that you kind of cared by going after the point diff thing last night playing until the final
horn? They could put their B's out there, but they could put their B's out there with Kareem Lopez.
And that Kareem Lopez is going to play.
That could be like the
they would have already ruled
spin,
it out.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, we're going to throw Kareem out there and let him do.
Well, maybe you keep Javon Small out there who's having a good summer league.
I would like Cedric Coward to not play anymore.
Why?
Because I feel like there's really nothing for him to get out of it.
That's a fair take.
Because I come away almost underwhelmed by him.
Well,
and this is like the problem.
The shooting has been awful.
Yeah.
But he has done double-digit rebound games.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, he's done everything else.
It's almost like it's why a Division I player would never play a high school player in one-on-one because there's nothing for him to get out of it. Even if he wins, he's supposed to win, and if he loses, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, let me just throw this back at you. Then you better be sitting Cameron Boozer.
I would think Cameron Boozer's probably time to sit.
Because I wouldn't want to have Cameron Boozer out there with a bunch of reserves saying that I'm trying to win. Yes. Go do it, Booze, if you want to.
I think you sit Cam,
so that's a package deal.
Hendricks. And you send Kareem Lopez back in there.
Well, we ain't sitting Taylor Hendricks. I'm pushing back on that one, and I'm pushing back for that one. You and I just—that's going to be our first agreement in your disagreement in your return.
I mean, you don't think
Taylor Hendricks
he's
plays.
Earned a sit?
Earned what? KO was out there dunking everything off the bench on them folks. I need Hendricks to wake up.
All right, that's
this
fine.
This guy's like a former top 10 pick.
You have no investment in him, so you can keep him out there. That's fine.
Yeah, I was hoping he's going to make the roster, but I don't know anymore.
Is it really that dire for him?
He just has not popped. You wanted him to look like a guy. Yeah. And I think for a while, maybe I was getting there.
Yeah.
But, dude, maybe I'm just on an island here. At one point, I thought he was on a roster.
I thought he's definitely a roster guy.
Well, Omax has just been so solid. You got Cameron Boozer. You still got Gigi's on the roster. You got Jalen Wells.
That's true.
You got Jeremy Grant now. Kareem Lopez is a three or a four.
You're right.
So
there is a roster crunch.
This dude, and now you can play him at center. Well, hell, now you got two veteran backup centers behind Zach Edey and Beef Stew and Quentin Post.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's my point.
Damn. I mean, he might not be a roster guy.
He needed to pop and just has not done that, at least in my eyes. And I would be playing him to see if he can do it. The other guy's Walter Clayton Jr., John. He's in big trouble because he hadn't played at all.
Yeah.
And you got Javon Smalls killing.
Yeah, he's in big trouble.
As the third string point guard.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
Housen's better than that, dude.
Dude, Housen from Iowa feels like he hits everything, but how many of those, you know, how many
6'4"
of the Cam Spencer Housen types can you have on a roster?
Yeah, I was definitely wrong about
Housen's
him.
Housen's impressive, though.
I thought Walter Clayton Jr. would come here and you know. I thought he'd. I just thought because what he did at Florida was going to translate, and it just didn't
him not being happen. Healthy is not helping.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, they've got on ESPN, they've got Taylor Hendricks listed as the backup four, but I don't. I mean, where's Kareem Lopez fitting into this? I mean,
but that's what I'm saying. If you know,
they've used a first round pick on him, he's going to get the crack.
And there's a logjam at the three. You got Wells behind Jeremy Grant, I would assume right now.
Yes.
Well, you can start there.
But I guess Kareem Lopez is more of a three than a
he's
four.
He's 3-4, I think they might have a vision of a three at some point in his career.
It's a kind of a weird roster. Like, they've got Scottie Pippen Jr. as a starting point guard. No way that's going to happen, right? It'd be Jerome.
It's if you want to go.
Yeah.
I don't think so, because I think Jeremy Grant you're going to want on the floor, which means you're moving Cedric Howard to the two.
Correct.
And you're going to start Ty Jerome.
This is a weird team. Like, it's a...
Wouldn't you rather have... You'd rather go... You'd rather go Ty Jerome, Cedric Howard as your 1-2 as opposed to Scotty, Ty Jerome.
Scotty's always
been
set on
the at
bench.
The three.
Yeah.
And bump. No, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, again, I guess either one of those guys works because they both kind of bring a spark plug element.
Scotty's perfect backup point guard.
But yeah, I think that's kind of where I would have it.
And Ty has incentive to be good because, again, he's going to have an option here soon to hit the market. So he's going to want to go put up numbers with a better team, theoretically, around him. And this he's low offense.
Let me ask you this. As we're going around Summer League, we'll talk to Tristan Krieg a little bit more about this in a bit. Most impressed by what rookie? And I don't know how much you've been watching.
I've watched all the top ones. What's crazy is how good they've all been.
Yeah, they've
backed
up
everything we've said about this class, and especially, you know, most of the top eight guys.
Yeah.
Because by the time the draft came around, pretty much every mock had the same eight, and that's the way that it rolled. To answer your question, it's tough because I would tell you Peterson was the guy at first.
Yep.
Then we saw DeBansa in Las Vegas.
Yep.
Set the record for number one picks, tied Blake Griffin. He didn't set the record. He tied it for number one picks debut in terms of points. But then Caleb Wilson.
Yep.
And Caleb has continued to be good. So, and it's really, you know, I think some people are chalking it up to – maybe it's just he'll never take 11 threes again in a game, that kind of thing. It was for everything we said about the three-point shot, and it's not there. Well, he just never took it at North Carolina. Man, hit 7 of 11 threes, and he's continued to hit threes in this summer league. So I don't know if it's just recency or what, but I'd still go Caleb Wilson, even though I believe the Grizzlies have the right guy for them at three still.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of people ain't going to take those two things. From the same guy.
Two things can be true, yeah.
They're going to say, no, well, you should have took Wilson then if he's the one that's impressed you most. Now, that said, the Bulls, much like Darius Acuff with the Kings, have given Caleb Wilson the ball and said, just go ball out, do whatever you want.
Absolutely.
You can also see that.
Now, that's
so
the summer.
It's contributed to the numbers.
They played him on a back-to-back.
1,000%. Yeah. He said, I want to keep playing and everything else. Remember, he said before the thing, he had been crying before his first game because it had been so long of a layoff. He was emotional.
Yep.
You know? Felt like he got Hubert Davis fired.
Yep, he did. Well, Hubert Davis
got himself fired.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we're
it was VCU.
Like, well, brother, how did you not let Caleb Wilson cook, like, from three? Like,
that too.
You might be an idiot. I agree with that. I'm gonna give you one off the radar though, Mikael Brown Jr.
I told Brad the other day he might end up being the best one in here.
He absolutely is better than Acuff. No doubt. I mean, Acuff has looked awful. He had a great game yesterday.
I was going to say he played well yesterday.
But, I mean, before yesterday, he was super inefficient.
Just struggling with efficiency.
The team looked like they kind of hated playing with him. But Mikael Brown has been efficient. He's been a great defender.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the Nets got them one in Mikael Brown Jr. They got a steal for sure. You know, Wagler has struggled. He had that one third quarter. But other than that, he has looked a little out of his element.
I'm glad we're not in the business of Wagler right now.
One person I trust referred to him the entire draft process as WNBA body, which I think the implication is that he's going to struggle with the physicality. And you know,
what's crazy about him is that yours is 18. He's 251 pounds. And he's a physical specimen. That kid's 19 and needs a couple of years to put on
some
muscles. Yours is already ready.
I mean, we can go through here.
There's one. I wonder if you're going to get to that. The Grizzlies could have taken the entire league. Could have taken him, and he dropped and dropped and dropped, and he's been fantastic.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's a guy that I actually mentioned in my piece that I wanted the Grizz to draft, and that's Cam Carr.
1,000%. Yeah. He's got the Lakers 3-0.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, that was
now it's not again, just the Grizzlies. A lot of teams passed on him.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll say this: like, you're crowded at that spot, but you went Kareem Lopez over.
Goodness.
Yeah, you know, and he was a guy who tested well.
Yep. He killed it at the combine.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's one that I think like,
and was talked about at the time during the draft, mind you.
No, and with the way he dropped, now he's got a chip.
People were mentioning him in the teens when we were sitting there trading back.
Well, again,
he'd been mocked in a lot of drafts. He was mocked over 16.
Yes.
He was higher. No, 12
he was
and
there.
Higher than that.
No, but that was an obvious miss.
I wrote about him on June 18th, and I said in this NBA draft, there's a lot to like for the Grizzlies, and he was my last name. And I said, Cam Carr, wing Baylor. You know, he possesses the physical tools to be an elite defender, and he already has the scoring chops. He seems exactly like someone who would be definitively in play for the Grizzlies at 16 and perhaps well before then. So I identified him pretty – I mean, a lot of people did because it was the fact that he tested at 6'4.5".
He's
6'5". But his wingspan is 7 foot.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about this is
– And he can shoot.
And he can shoot the pill out of – like
yeah. We're still waiting to see if Cedric Coward can shoot.
Exactly.
Now, he, in fairness to him, he shot it well at the start of the year, but
yes.
We're talking about consistently.
The five guys that I identified that I liked for the Grizzlies, I mean, again, we're a month out of that, but I'm curious if you think that I am going to end up looking good or dumb on this. I said Cam Boozer, who's obviously looked good, Abuka Okori for the Pistons.
I haven't seen much of him.
He's been pretty good.
I mean, you gave him to the, you had a chance to have him.
Yeah, you drafted him.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, right?
Yes. Well, but you picked up a ton of picks in doing so, and you got a backup center in Isaiah Stewart.
Abuka has been pretty good. He's raw, though. He's got a ways to go, but I could see it. LeBaron Filon, who's been pretty damn good.
I think he had 17 last night.
Kingston Flemings, who's struggling from the field, but they're, you know, you can see the leadership.
Real quick, where the heck does LeBaron Filon play in that Philadelphia organization with all those guards, dude?
I don't know.
They went and got Anthony Simons, too.
I know. I mean, he's going to have to beat
like
him out.
He's going to be behind so many dudes to start his career.
Yeah, he is. Although, you know,
I don't
think necessarily
the fit.
I think from their perspective, they kind of like it because the pressure's off a bit. But I don't know. I agree. It's like you do want to play.
It's just weird. Yeah. When's he going to play?
And then I had Cam Carr. So
that's five good ones.
So again, it's summer league. We shall see. I didn't have Caleb Wilson on there because I did not expect him. I'll admit, I did not expect him to shoot the ball the way he has.
Well, Christian Anderson's, from what I've seen, shot the ball well. I don't have his whole totals, but I thought he's put up some numbers. That's another one of those guards that you could have had in that position.
Yep.
Sturts, they drafted, traded, but ended up trading him, trading back. And Zach's point was he felt better about the guards he's got than the ones that were right there.
Yep.
We'll see about that.
Yep.
You know, in terms of the future, because what you didn't get was your quote-unquote point guard of the future, right? The guy that's going to necessarily replace Ja. Now, maybe you decide to go all in on Ty Jerome at some point.
Yep.
But right now, you don't have that guy long term.
Agreed.
So we'll see how it plays out. That's going to be a question mark.
And then let me give my disappointments. There's only two that I would say have been super disappointing to me, and that would be what the Thunder did with Adai Mara and Bennett Sturts. Adai Mara, physically, not even close. They haven't won a game. They're 0-5 going back to Salt Lake.
I don't think I realized they had won a game.
They lost last night. He kind of got close. Like, they had a chance there.
Boozer dunked on him from the get-go. But
Adai Mara is not physically ready. He's not conditioned. He's not in good enough shape. He's soft. And then Sturts has no blow-by. Like, I don't know how he's going to play on an NBA basketball court because he has no spurt. And maybe that was, like you could get away with that in the Big Ten, you know, if you're just, like, smarter than everybody, you know, on the floor. Your IQ's higher than everybody. But, like, dude, everybody's smart in the NBA, and everybody's quick, and everybody's long and fast. And that's what I've not seen from him.
There's some nuance to this conversation because one of the changes that's happened since you were gone was that Dusty Mays now in the NBA is the Dallas Mavericks coach, and he took the front court player.
He did.
And Morez Johnson Jr. that most didn't have mocked first. Most had Adai Mara mocked first of the three guys by the time we got to the draft.
Yep.
So it's interesting to your point about Mara not being ready that Dusty ended up taking the physical specimen, the man. Some people questioned if he was taking the right guy. Of course, we said it. Well, Dusty must know. And you look at – have you seen the numbers Johnson put up? He didn't play against the Grizzlies the other night. But, bro, he has been a beast, especially on the defensive end. And Dusty took that one. So it speaks to your point about Mara not being ready to play because he obviously had the chance to take Mara, who, again, most of the mocks had higher than Johnson and Lindeborg.
Exactly. Lindeborg has been a really good one.
He's going to be good for Golden State.
He's old as hell. So, like, if he's not dominating summer league, then we got a problem. But
he's perfect for Steve Kerr in that he's just going to fit right. You don't have to run anything for him, which Steve is not going to do. He's going to run a system, and he can just be an energy guy in that system.
He's a younger, maybe slightly better shooting Draymond Green. And that's probably the idea.
I kind of like that. Way more athletic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the idea there with him. Obviously, today is kind of weird. You know, I wake up, and the first thing I do is check the slate, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you don't check the cashy odds for where for LeBron's going? That's what you got me doing. That's what I've kind of woke up doing.
What are we still on Cleveland as a favorite there?
Dude, it's come back a little bit. Cleveland's the favorite at 38%, but Golden State is now up to 30. I think at one point Cleveland was way up over 50. I want to say it's 60%, something like that, but Golden State's now at 30. Miami's 15.
I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it for Golden State. I don't think. I mean, I'd kind of
made a little push here. At least
I'd enjoy like the unction there, you know, with Steph and Bron. But I don't think he identifies that as a the Warriors haven't done anything since 2022 with Steph.
If he's going there, it's only because of Steph and all the feels from Team USA. He did enjoy it,
right?
And that whole finishing my career with him,
right?
It wouldn't be because this is the best title contender I can join and put them over. Because that would be Philly, to be honest with you, or Cleveland. Put Cleveland over Golden State.
Or you just will not give my Spurs the credit.
Brad loves your Spurs, but they're not in the running.
They should be.
You guys
got
to give it up.
If it was about winning a title, which obviously it isn't, it's about legacy for him.
Minnesota made a public push yesterday in introducing their guys, Melo and everything else.
Well,
come on, LeBron. I can't believe
win a title with LaMelo. Like, you know that. You can't even win a play-in tournament with LaMelo.
Conley thinks they can.
Yeah, I don't.
That is such a weird dynamic with a guy as serious about winning as Anthony Edwards is, and then one seemingly that to this point has been unserious, but maybe we saw him turn a corner last year.
They're like the stepbrothers. You know, they're like Will Ferrell and Duke. They're too damn goofy for me.
It's going to be wild. You lost a heart piece with Naz Reid. You traded out some heart with him.
I don't think the fit is good. Like, I worry. But it'll be fun to watch. It'll be like when they're on, they'll score 130 points.
I'll just say I've questioned Conley before, and he's thrown it back in my face with them winning playoffs. They beat Denver last year in the playoffs. I know they didn't get back to the West Conference Finals like they had the last 2 years, but still. Maybe in some weird way this turns out better than I can foresee it right now. He's shown me, you know, that I was wrong before. So
all right, well,
that was Rudy Gobert.
That's summer league. Like I said today, I don't really expect a whole lot in the way of stars. Grizzlies obviously are off. AJ DeBons is shut down. I assume the Clippers will probably shut down Keaton Wagler, although maybe they just keep him out there as punishment. I don't know what the
Bro needs reps. He needs reps and weight bench.
Maybe you can tune in at 4:30 and see former Memphis Tiger Naquan Tomlin for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Bro, there are former Tigers, it feels like
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Lester playing for the Magic today at 3.
Quiñones was killing the other day for them. He was their main go-to guy off it. What's it going to take for him to get a roster spot in this league?
I mean, he had one for a minute, didn't
Hadn't he been like the G League MVP?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
what else can he do?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's the size. I don't know.
He can, a guy like him that feels like he's this close must be able to make a nice living overseas.
For sure.
And get a nice check. So either way, he's hooping.
I think you can. What's the G League max salary now? I mean.
Well, it's gone up. It's gone up.
You can, if you're on a two-way, you can earn up to 630.
Okay. So it'll be better for him.
That's why these guys chase. Yeah. They just try to get that two-way, get caught up for the max, and usually teams will do that. Like, I guess the goal for Lester is let me get on a bad team. Let me get a two-way on a bad team that will call me up and pay me for 630, you know, whatever the max is. I think he certainly earned that. So, anyway, that's the that's 6 weeks worth of an open
wrap around.
Yeah. Do you feel like the load has been a little bit less than now?
Oh yeah.
I assume this will be my last paternity leave.
Don't even start.
I assume.
We thought after baby number two. We thought after Dom. I had gone under on 2.5.
Ooh. Bad beat.
Because
bad beat.
Children are expensive. And John likes his money.
I do like my money.
That was so dumb.
I do like my money.
Because you very quickly went over.
Well, again, the third kid was, you know, a beautiful accident, right? It was
beautiful accident.
It's not people plan, you know. People plan. They say, we're going to do this. We're going to try. We're not trying. It just appeared like a stork dropped him off on the porch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, blessed to have two beautiful sons and my oldest daughter,
Riley.
I got
two sons now.
Yeah.
Two.
Is that the stork? Oh, that's a baby. No, that's a newborn right there. We're past that. We're just like colicky now. I mean, it's just like constant.
It's a tough stage.
And then just, you know, juggling the three. We've done a lot of Fun City. You ever heard of Fun City?
Fun City, no.
Oh, Fun City. Fun City is Fun City for Daddy.
I was just children's museum all the time.
Yeah, Fun City is
what's
like
Fun City.
Well, it's like just adventure park. Now you pay to play. It's like, you know, I think to get them in for an hour and a half in the middle of the day, it's like $40.
Yeah.
And then they want to play the games, and I get them Labubus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm in there for like, you know, an hour and a half. It's like $100 easy.
Okay.
Easy. But it's like that they're just running around doing, you know what I'm saying? I get to just kind of chill and sit back for a little bit. It's worth it. So there's a lot of Fun City in that paternity leave.
How old is Dom now?
He's 2.5.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
So coming up on 3 pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah.
You won't be able to get him on the same team. Him and Miles.
No.
There's a little bit too much separation.
Correct.
There. Even if we did the reclass.
Yes, yes, yes.
Diedrich, reclass, KJ.
We'd have to
together,
do the 8th grade holdback.
We would have to
twice.
Hold back. Yeah.
Which I know some of y'all out here are doing.
So what it's going to mean is even more, you know, movement for you. It's going to be different teams.
Yeah,
and you're,
sure.
You know, and then Riley, of course, is going to have everything she's got going on.
That's right.
But you can't play them together.
Nah, unfortunately, they will be, you know, a little separate.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you
stagger
know,
there.
Like Mason and Mav, you know. They never got
Mason and Mav never got to hoop together.
Oh, they actually
did
in high school.
Yeah.
In high
sophomore,
school.
Senior?
I think it was like that, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, we could.
That's what you can do, right?
They could. I mean, if that's the path. I know Dominic's going to want to take that path. We're yet to find out much about Miles.
Will Miles be ready to play up?
I don't know. Right now, I'm not seeing it.
Okay.
Right now, he's very much at his level. You know, he doesn't really sleep that well during the day.
Chris struggles playing up, let me tell you. That physicality looked like he'd woggle out there.
Oof, not WNBA body.
We got to work on it. We got to work. We're doing the push-ups.
Is he lifting weights yet?
You know, we've talked to many experts.
Okay.
Some fathers do. They've started.
Yeah.
That's right. We're right there in that decision whether we should go. He's got all the cut in his arm he can get from push-ups.
Got it.
But we've hit a wall, Brad.
That happens.
We need that Jake strength. Whatever you did with yours.
12?
Yes.
Isn't that the age where they say, like, it's probably still a little too early because you're.
Some do. And many will draw their line on.
Right. I think it's a little too soon, but I think 13. 13 in January, right?
Yes, it'll be 13.
I'd say 13. You could definitely start hitting the weights. Okay. You know, and we got a big event coming up next week.
Yes. Puma Nationals, our first time on the circuit.
Yeah.
We've advanced to the finals.
Yeah.
We're going to get smoked, but a great first experience for young Chris and the guys. Starter on his team. I don't have the averages.
Yeah.
He's had some big games.
Well, that's all right. You don't have to have the average. All that matters at that age is, like, are you winning? Are there winning habits?
We had one the other day. I was so intense, and in Nashville.
Yeah, we're going to
tell you about it off air. We can't do everything in the first segment, but we're so glad you're back.
Well, it's good to be back. It's obviously been, I mean, 6 weeks is a long ass time. So I'm glad.
Ooh,
again,
tell me about
to be back and to have a little bit of a distraction. I'll be honest with you. So I'm very grateful. And you know, again, like we were talking about before the show, you know, I kind of timed this out to where I wouldn't have to go through the hard stuff. I would have to let y'all kind of do that on your own.
Brilliant.
And that seems to have happened for the most part. So anyway, a lot to get to on this Saturday. Trista Crick is going to join us at 10 a.m. We'll talk summer league with her. We'll talk about Ja Morant. She's part of the Ja Morant Welcome Committee there in Portland. She will be there when he gets unveiled and cuts the ribbon. Lots to get to with her. Stick around. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome back, J&J. I am back after a 6-week sabbatical. How's that feel to not do a return, Jason?
It's different. It's a different show when you're here, and one
sit
that
back,
I
man.
Truly do enjoy.
Just truly sit back.
Talk, please. Love hearing your sweet voice.
Well, you know, one of the things of like, there's a certain, and we're going to talk to Trisha Crick here in just a minute. One of the things that's interesting about, obviously, I was unplugged from the radio. I was on the 6-week paternity, but I really also in the same simultaneously unplugged from X specifically, in Instagram to a degree, but mostly X. And I now am reminded of the bliss that certainly comes with being ignorant mm-hmm. to what's going on in the world. Like, I don't really know what's happening in the world. Like, I'll be honest, I was following, did y'all talk about the Matt Miller thing? The NFL draft guy for ESPN who lost his arm in the car wreck, and then...
No.
Okay, well, that's what I was following.
Missed that one.
All right, well, that was like the big story.
Matt Miller of ESPN lost his arm in a car wreck?
Yes.
Wow.
And then what came out about that is that he apparently has been running these fantasy drafts and scamming people out of money through the guise of charity and not sending money back or memorabilia that was promised.
Boy. That came out of the car wreck?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
What, at some point, you will have to explain that.
And there's speculation was he intentionally trying to, like, off himself?
Wow.
Like, there's this video that's come out. So,
well, I could see how that could get you down a wormhole.
Yeah, but other than that, I have no idea what's going on, and so it's been a beautiful thing. But I know Trista Crick has been as plugged in as anybody. She lives on social media.
Yep.
She is social media. So we're going to talk to her when we get back about, you know, hey, congratulations on landing number 12, superstar Ja Morant, and World Cup, and everything else that she's done. So she'll join us on the other side. Stick around, J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN.